Well, today is Mother's Day, and I wish God's blessing upon all the mothers in the room this morning. I hope you have been or will be well celebrated. And if your mother is no longer with us, then I hope you will find some time today to remember her and give thanks. Now, I'm going to bring a message in keeping with the occasion. And I have chosen for our text a familiar passage in the Old Testament, one that is often called the virtuous woman. It's in Proverbs chapter 31. So please, if you would, turn there in your Bible, Proverbs chapter 31. And please, if you would, follow along as I read from verse 10. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet nigh, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favour is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we humbly ask now that you would help us to understand the text of Scripture before us. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for his ministry to us, and we pray that he would exercise that ministry now. Give us good understanding, we pray. Instruct us, encourage us, convict us. Please continue to transform us into the image of your Son, whom we love. These things we pray in his name. Amen. Now, I want to anticipate what some of you ladies might be thinking as we come to this passage of Scripture. Perhaps it's something like, oh, here we go. The pastor is going to load me up with guilt. I'm going to leave church today feeling bad for all the ways I'm falling short as a wife and a mother. That's just what I need. Now, if that's what you're thinking, then I want to put your mind at ease, because that's not what I'm going to do this morning. I'm not going to approach this text as if it's a checklist, that if a woman is to be virtuous, then she needs to be getting out of bed before the sun comes up and preparing meals for her family, and she needs to maintain a garden, and she needs to know how to sew, and she needs to have a side business that supports her family, and so on. I'm not going to approach the text in this way, because that's not what it is. Okay, it's not a checklist. It's not a manual that God wants women to follow step by step. Rather, it's a description. It's a portrait, if you will, and it was painted in a particular context. This is a piece of inspired wisdom literature from the ancient Near East, written perhaps 900 years before the birth of Christ. And there are things in this description that don't translate into our context. Most women in Lismore don't have servants like this woman does. They don't plant vineyards, they don't make their own linen, and their husbands don't sit among the elders at the city gates. What we're supposed to see and what we're supposed to take away from this portrait are the aspects that transcend time and geography and culture. We're supposed to see what it is that made this woman virtuous in Israel 900 years before the birth of Christ, and what makes her virtuous in Australia 2,000 years after the birth of Christ. And it's not the specific details of what she does, but what her actions point to, what her actions reveal, and that is her priorities, her attitude, her character. In case you're not quite following me, let me explain what I mean with an example. It seems fairly clear to me that we're supposed to see that this woman is committed to the welfare of her children. That's one of the attributes that makes her virtuous. And because she cares about her children, it seems as though she makes their clothes. Clothes that keep them warm in winter. Now, a mother today who is just as committed to her children's welfare, instead of making her children's clothes, might make sure there is enough money set aside in the family budget to purchase appropriate clothing. And if money is tight, she might use Facebook or other means to track down good quality, pre-loved clothing. She is exhibiting exactly the same quality. She is virtuous in exactly the same way, even though her actions are different. And I'm sure many of the mums here this morning are very glad that they can go to Big W or Kmart and purchase their children's clothes rather than having to spend hours and hours making them. And again, this is what we're supposed to take away from this description. Those attributes that transcend time and geography and culture. We're supposed to take note of those qualities that made this woman virtuous in Israel 900 years before the birth of Christ, and that make her virtuous today, in our context. Now, I am certainly not going to draw out every character trait and every attitude that the Holy Spirit shows us in this picture. We could spend a month of Sundays observing what kind of person this woman is and connecting that to our experience. Rather, I'm going to bring a message in three parts, and I'm going to consider this passage as a whole rather than working through it verse by verse. The first part of our Mother's Day message for 2022 is for the men. And you thought you were getting a Sunday off. How wrong you were. I don't know if you've picked up on this before, but this portion of Scripture was actually given with a man in view rather than a woman. This is, in the first instance, a text for men. Look back, please, to verse 1, if you would. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1, it says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." Well, I'm not going to get into a discussion of who King Lemuel was. You can go and study that out for yourself if you're so inclined. For our purposes today, I want you to see who is speaking. The chapter contains the words of King Lemuel, yes. However, they are the prophecy that his mother taught him. And it's her voice that begins to be heard in verse 2. If you look there, "What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows?" Verse 3, "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." This is Lemuel's mother addressing her son. This is a message, this is teaching for a man. Lemuel's mother is concerned for his moral and spiritual well-being as a man and as he executed the office of king. She wants him to be a good man and a good king. Now, with this in mind, remembering who is speaking, look please at verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Lemuel, my son, who can find a virtuous woman? Such a woman is priceless. Why is she saying this to her son? I think the answer is fairly obvious, and the Hebrew language bears this out. The Hebrew word translated woman is the same word for wife, and the translators had to decide which English word to go with here. Some English versions of the Bible go with woman, some with wife. Given the context, I think Lemuel's mother is talking about a wife. Who can find an excellent wife? For her price is far above rubies. This also fits with her warning in verse 3. She says, give not thy strength unto women. In other words, don't be a womanizer. Don't be like all the other kings and give yourself to filling your harem. Don't give yourself to pursuing concubines and courtesans. But on the other hand, an excellent wife, a wife like this, is more valuable than you can imagine. She is a priceless treasure. This is the kind of woman Lemuel's mother wanted him to marry. These are the qualities that she wanted him to seek out in a wife. These are what make for an excellent wife. So I hope you can see that in the first instance, this is a message for a man. This portrait of a virtuous woman is given to men. Now, I don't mean for you married men to run through this text and assess your wife to see if she measures up. You know, yes, no, not sure about that. Oh, could be doing more of that. No. And I know you wouldn't dream of doing anything like that. The message for the men this morning is this. We have to let the scriptures shape how we think about our wives if we're married and how we think about women in general. And with particular reference to this text, it has to be the scriptures that tell us what an excellent woman is, not our culture. For you young men here this morning who would like to be married one day, the qualities the woman in this chapter displays are what make for a wonderful spouse. These are what you should be looking for. These are what you should place a premium on when you make that life-altering decision. Now, you don't need me to tell you that our culture, in the messages it sends, diverges pretty sharply from what God says in this chapter. When it comes to what makes for an excellent woman, our culture emphasizes a number of things. It emphasizes physical beauty and sexuality. And this perspective is ubiquitous. Our culture tells us that these are very important characteristics, if not the most important. We see this in advertising, in social media, in movies, and of course, this is the message communicated by pornography. And pornography has never been as prevalent or as accessible as it is today. It's an absolute tragedy that for so many young men today, it's internet pornography that has shaped their idea of what an excellent woman is. It's a woman who looks like that and who will do those kinds of things. It's awful. It's degrading. Our culture also emphasizes personal autonomy and self-determination. Now, I don't want to get into a lengthy discussion about feminism this morning, and I don't think any pastor ever wants to talk about this subject from the pulpit. But there is no doubt that many wrongs were righted by the first and second waves of feminism. There were many cultural norms that were bad for women, that were unfair and oppressive, and I'm glad those things have been addressed. I'm glad the status of women in our society has been greatly uplifted, but it's also undeniable that the feminist movement has attacked the biblical worldview and denigrated the place of marriage and children in a woman's life and in society. Now, if someone was to write a piece like the one here in Proverbs chapter 31, mentioning the same kind of activities and the same kind of attitudes, and then say that it describes an excellent woman, they'd be called a sexist. They'd be accused of misogyny. This picture is so very different to the one our culture would paint. Really, our culture communicates a very mixed message about women and about what's virtuous and what's valuable. And we men can develop the wrong ideas. We can get off track in multiple directions. If we're married, we can have expectations of our wives that the world has put into our heads. Selfish expectations. Expectations that don't align with what God says, that might even be the opposite of what God says. And what usually follows is pressure. We pressure our wives into being what the culture says they should be, how they should look, what they should do for us, how they should treat us. And that discourages them, that's bad for them, and bad for our marriages. There is also the tendency for we men, if our thinking is shaped by the world, to become passive, to shirk our responsibility, to lead our families, to provide and protect and serve. I wonder if one of the unintended consequences of feminism's success is that it has given men a great excuse to slack off, to be second rate, to be mediocre in marriage and mediocre in family life. She doesn't need me, she's an independent woman. Speaking to the men, it would do us good to examine the way we think about our wives and our attitudes towards them. Is what we value in them, is what we expect from them, in keeping with what God's word says? Or have we allowed our attitudes and our expectations to be far too influenced by the world? And if our marriage is struggling, could this be why? Could this be why our wife is unhappy and discouraged? Do we need to do some repenting? Today would be a good day to do that. So that's the first part of our Mother's Day message. The second part is for the women. And it relates to the things the woman in this famous picture does. How I imagine many women respond to this text, and I could be wrong about this, is that they look at this lady in Proverbs chapter 31 and think, wow, she's amazing. Look at what she does. Look at how capable she is. Look at how much energy she's got. She's in the kitchen preparing meals for her household before the sun comes up. I can barely drag myself out of bed at 7:30. She's out there doing property deals, and I have enough trouble doing the grocery shopping. And yes, there is a sense in which she is amazing. The woman Lemuel's mother describes is privileged in ways that most women are not. And perhaps she does have more energy than most mothers do, and maybe she is unusually capable. But when you look at this description more closely, when you take some time to ponder it, you realise that she's actually doing ordinary things. She's looking after her children. She's supporting her husband. She's managing a household. She's trying to be wise with the family budget. She's being charitable to those in need. In reality, she's doing the same kinds of things that you do if you're a wife and a mother. Yes, there is a sense in which this woman in Proverbs chapter 31 is remarkable, but what the text actually teaches us is that to be a virtuous woman, you don't have to do extraordinary things. This passage ascribes dignity and value to those ordinary responsibilities that mothers fulfill. It elevates that domestic sphere where mothers spend most of their time when their children are young. As I said, this woman does the kinds of things that you do if you're a mum. She fulfills the same responsibilities. And she is said to be of more value than rubies. She's not doing groundbreaking medical research. She's not the CEO of a multi-million dollar company that she started. She's not prosecuting corporate malfeasance in the highest courts. She's a wife and a mother who's looking after her family and doing works of mercy to her neighbours. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not making any comment about women who achieve great things in business and in academia and so forth. I'm simply making the point that the woman in this text isn't doing those kinds of things. Her life centers around her home and her family, and she is praised. She is held up to us. To be a virtuous woman, you don't have to do extraordinary things. And I hope that's encouraging to hear. I hope that takes some of the pressure off, the pressure that our culture applies, the pressure to conform to what you see on Instagram, an ideal of womanhood and motherhood that well might be completely unrealistic. This woman is virtuous. She is an excellent person, not because she does anything out of the ordinary, but because she does the ordinary things well and with the right attitude. Because she is diligent and considerate. Because she is wise and kind. Because she is loyal and compassionate. Because she is gentle and strong. Because she puts others before herself. And none of this is out of reach. None of this is beyond any of you in this room today. The woman in this passage is not some ideal that's completely unrealistic and unattainable. Not at all. But what it requires is a meaningful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be a woman like this, and I hope you do, you need the work of God's Spirit in your life. You need to make much of the ordinary means by which God helps his children, and those means are prayer and the scriptures and the church and fellowship. You can't be a woman like this on your own, by your own strength and willpower. You need the Lord, and he will help you. He will change you if you walk with him. I said I wasn't going to load you up with guilt this morning, and so I won't. But speaking to the ladies, I will ask, how is your walk with the Lord? If you're married, how are things at home with your husband, with your children? How's your attitude? Have you grown resentful or bitter? Are you struggling with anger? Have you grown jealous of others who seem to have it easier than you? Where does this passage in Proverbs chapter 31 find you today? Maybe you need to do some repenting. There is a message for men in this portion of Scripture and a message for women, and then there is a message for both. And this is the third and final part of our Mother's Day sermon. And in a way, it gets right to the heart of what King Lemuel's mother was teaching her son. After giving this description of a virtuous woman, she says this. If you'd like to look at verse 30, she says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." This is a great verse, and one that is so necessary for us to remember, given the world in which we're living. It tells us what is most important. It tells us what really matters, what we really should be pursuing. Now, the word favor in this verse refers to charm, to being agreeable and pleasing. And we've all met people that we would describe as charming. You know, they have a sweet way about them. They make you feel good by their demeanor, by their smile, by the way they interact with you. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it can be a real gift. I think we would all rather be charming rather than grumpy or curmudgeonly. Okay? Maybe some of you want to be curmudgeonly, I don't know, but I think most of us would like to be thought of as charming. This is not necessarily a negative quality, but it can be. The point here is that a person's charm can be deceitful. Someone can have a pleasant, pleasing disposition, they can have a winning smile, but inwardly be very different. We shouldn't place a premium on outward charm. And the same is true of beauty. The verse says, beauty is vain. Now, it's important to say that the Bible is not against physical beauty. Indeed, there are sections in the book of Proverbs that speak of a husband appreciating his wife in this way. And then we have a whole book called The Song of Solomon that celebrates marital love in all its aspect, and it's full of references to the physical characteristics that the husband finds pleasing about his wife and that the wife finds pleasing about her husband, like his legs, for example. They are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. So there you go. The Bible is not against physical beauty. But the point here is that this kind of beauty is fleeting. In the words of one author, it is ephemeral and transitory. And we know this, don't we? We just don't look as good as we did when we were 25. We get wrinkles, our hair changes colour, or in my case, it falls out. What was once taut and toned is less so. There is more where there used to be less, and there is less where there used to be more, and we wish it wasn't so. Because this is the nature of physical beauty, we shouldn't make too much of it. It shouldn't be of primary importance. And in context here, this is the message for men when they think about women, and for women as they think about themselves. For men, it's a grave mistake to make the measure of a woman her outward appearance. Lemuel's mother didn't want physical beauty to drive his decision-making when it came to marriage. For women, it's a grave mistake to have all of your self-worth tied up with how you look and whether people think you're attractive. This is where social media has been terribly unhelpful. It has elevated in the minds of many young women and young men the need to look good and to get the approval of their peers. It's a very big problem. And this phenomenon is doing great harm. Young people, and older people too, need to come back to the truth of this verse, that beauty is vain. Physical beauty is passing. It's just not that important. It's a grave mistake to put buckets of emotional energy and whole swathes of your time and resources into trying to maintain your outward appearance. It's a losing game. It won't last. But, says our verse, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. This is what matters. This is what has real value, the fear of the Lord. That is a life where the Lord is central, a life that honours the Lord. A woman who is pursuing this, a woman who has a healthy relationship with God through His Son Jesus Christ, a woman who is being changed by the Spirit of God as she walks with Him, she will be praised because she will exhibit all of those qualities that make a person truly beautiful, truly attractive. She will possess those qualities that endure, that do not fade with the passing of time. The qualities we see in this portrait of a virtuous woman. We need to put a premium on the fear of the Lord. That's what we should strive for in our own lives. That's what we should value in the lives of others. A person who fears the Lord, that's who you want to marry if you're single and would like to be married one day. That should be at the top of the list when you're looking for a spouse. And if you are married, for the sake of your spouse and your children, for your own sake, I hope this is the person you want to be. I hope this is at the top of your list, a commitment to honouring the Lord and living for Him. Favour is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So that's our Mother's Day message for 2022. And I want to wrap it up by pulling one last time on a thread that has run through this sermon. I've referred multiple times to our culture. It's so easy to be misdirected by our culture. Sometimes we don't even realise that it's happened. The messages the world sends can shape our thinking in these areas that we've looked at today, and we don't pick up on it. We can get to the place where what God says and what we think are no longer in alignment, and that never goes well. That leads only to heartache and sorrow. It's so easy to think that some things are more important than they really are. It's so easy to value things that aren't really that valuable at all. We overvalue what is passing away, and we undervalue what lasts for a lifetime. And this is the corrective we have in this famous passage of Scripture, and especially in the verse at the end. It reminds us of what is truly valuable, what is truly virtuous. And maybe it's a corrective that you need today. May God help us, and may God bless the preaching of His word. Amen.